listeners. Welcome to this R.G. Hardy Ministries program. I'm Sharon Knotts, thanking you for tuning in today, because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I believe you will be blessed by today's message as I minister on the importance of raising a godly seed. You know, I'm a third-generation preacher, and I want to share with you the legacy passed down to me from my dad, Brother Hardy, and my granny, Mother Hardy, in today's message, A Godly Legacy.
A is for affirmation. It's closely related to encouragement, but it's just a tad different. Whereas with encouragement, you're always cheering them on, telling them what they can do. You can do it. I know you can. Just try. You can do it. Affirmation is more affirming not what they can do, but who they are. Because they are not only your children and your grandchildren, they are children of God. And we've got to see our children as children of God. And He created them and He made them for His glory and His honor. But what if that child perhaps is born into a poor family and your limited resources as to just how much you can give them or how much you can do for them? What if that child is born with a physical problem of some kind and a handicap of some kind? It does not matter. None of those things does not change that they are God's children and He has a great life for them, regardless of what the circumstances are. If they will trust in the Lord, if you make them understand, don't focus on those things that seem to be a hindrance to you. Look to the Lord. It doesn't matter. Even if sickness has come and stolen your child's health, maybe something's come into their life and it seems to steal their dreams and take them away, they are still God's child. He loves them and He's got a life for them, and you need to just encourage them and affirm to them that in God there is great things yet that they will receive if they will trust in the Lord. And no one can say it any better than the psalmist did in Psalm 139. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Let's read this one together. I'm not going to paraphrase this one. It's too important. And verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, and your reins talks about your innermost being. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. For thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now here we have even the testimony of the unborn child yet in the mother's womb, looking back, being in that place, not completely perfect yet. During that time of being knitted in the mother's womb, being put together, God knew when it was first that tiny first little cell that is so tiny that you couldn't even see it. Before it began to divide and grow, God saw that tiny little child even before He had all His fingers, when they were still like this, before they began to break apart, before they had fingernails. God saw when its eyes were tight like that. Before they opened up, He saw everything about them in their mother's womb. He said that when I was being made in secret, I am fearfully made. And that word fearfully means that with such reverence, life is to be revered. Life is precious. God says life is precious. He says the life of the unborn child is precious. He says that baby in its mother's womb is precious. And today we live in a society when our children are being literally killed by the millions. How many, 40 million to date or something and counting? I know they call it abortion, but that is a misnomer. It is not abortion. It is infanticide. It is murder. Abortion is when the body of its own aborts or miscarries a seed because for whatever reason, there's a problem with it, either with the seed itself or with the environment that the mother can't carry it, and the body itself may abort. Deliver that child too early. That's an abortion. Not when they go in there and suck it out. Not when they deliver a child and take scissors and stab it in the back of its right here and then suck out the brains. That's not abortion, that's murder. Amen. And God, if God said that the blood of one man, if just Cain's blood cried out from the earth, if one person's blood, what do you think God is hearing in his ears from 40 million babies being murdered? God says that child is precious, regardless of how it all began. I don't care if you take someone who was high on drugs and they were with somebody, they don't even know who they were with, and now they have that child growing in there. No, that child, if they can't, you know, care for that child, they need to bring it forth and put it up for adoption. That child is precious. Amen? And so he's saying that when you were curiously made, and I love the word curious, and you've heard me say it before, it's curious. It's a curious word. It makes you stop and think, what does that mean? But really the word is an old English word that literally means to embroider, to hand embroider. Have you ever seen like doilies that were hand embroidered with little flowers and all the different colors? I don't mean the kind they do with the machines, where the machines come down and go do, 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 do. I mean where somebody sits there and sews with my hand. That's the word, what it means, embroidery. And that's that word, because if you go back in the under Leviticus, you'll see that when he told him how to make the garments for the priests, he told him make the curious girdle. He meant make that covering that had embroidery all over it. So what it means is meticulously hand designed, handmade, no stamped pattern, but hand designed, everyone different, because it's not possible to do every single stitch identically the same over and over again. And that's how God made us. We all have our own DNA. Every one of us is different. They know even our eyes are different. And our fingernails are, our fingers are different. We're all, God made us each one, and he gave each one of us a unique makeup. And so when God made us, he made us, even though we may not see all the things that God sees in us, he sees them nevertheless, even when they're imperfect, even when they're immature. And when you come to Christ, when you give that child to the Lord, and when that child will surrender his life to God, God will bring out of him all the things that he placed in him, placed in her, when he created them in the mother's womb. Some people go through their whole life and they never have those things brought out of them, because only God can bring them out. He's the only one that knows they're in there and put them there. You have some people that manage to bring them out, but they're using them in the wrong places. And that God's blessing, God made them to bless his kingdom, to bless his people, to shine for his glory. Instead, they're out there and the devil's using it. How many say amen? So we need to affirm to them who they are. They are God's child. C. C is for correction. How many know you got to have balance? And when I'm talking about correction, I'm talking about constructive remedial discipline. We're not talking about abuse, okay? So when I get to reading these scriptures, don't let your mind run off. We're not talking about abuse. We're talking about that which is remedial and that which is going to bring about a good remedy and fix a problem. The two worst things any parents can do are fail to discipline, over-discipline. If you fail to discipline, you let a child do himself, oh my Lord, one day you will regret it, but by that time it will be too late. When they stand up in your face, it's too late then. How many say amen? So if you think, oh, I'm just going to let them go and they're a free spirit and let them be, yeah, when they get to school, they're going to be so free, they're not going to be able to sit down behind a desk, they're going to have all kinds of problems. So failure to discipline is bad, but so is over-disciplining. Because if you over-discipline them, the Word of God says you break their spirit. And I think I didn't put that scripture down, but I think it's Ephesians or Colossians, one or the other. I think it's Colossians around the 4th chapter. If you over-discipline them, you will break their spirit, and you don't want to do that either. So we want balance, amen? Because if we love our children, we will correct them. God said it clearly, and I won't read it, but you know in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he accepts. Everyone. If you endure chastening, then God deals with you as a son. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? No chastening for the present. Somebody say, for the present. seems to be joyous, but it's grievous. For the present, it's grievous. But he says, oh, but in the future, nevertheless, afterwards, somebody say afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So we see that if God corrects and chastens us, how many has ever, people here that are saved, have ever been chastened of the Lord? Is there anybody who's never, ever had the Lord have to chasten you or correct you? Because I want to make sure your halo hasn't slipped. No, didn't see nobody. Didn't think so. So he reasons if he chastens us. And how many know when you're in that crucible? I've been in some crucibles. I thought I was going to die. And while I was going through it, in my heart, I was saying, Lord, when you bring me out of this one, I will not do this again. I pray that I'll not be this foolish. I'll pray next time I zip my lip. I pray next time I won't be so huffy, puffy, and proud and whatever. How many say amen? So he uses that. He says, just like I chasten you. Does it mean I don't love you? On the contrary, because I love you, I don't want you to persist in your bad behavior. If I reward bad behavior, I'm reinforcing bad behavior. You're going to get worse. And as much as I love you because you're my child, your teacher isn't going to love you. Your neighbor isn't going to love you. Your boss isn't going to love you when you turn out to be a brat. You're no kin of theirs. They're not obligated to love you. They're not your mama. How many say amen? So God says we must correct our children. I'll just quickly run through these verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 13:24. He that spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him chastens him betimes.
Amen. I hope you're being blessed by this message, A Godly Legacy. This message speaks not only to mothers and grandmothers, but to all parents, grandparents, godparents, really to anyone who mentors or has influence over children. You know, I love to talk about my granny, Mother Hardy. She was a self-taught Bible scholar who trained many young believers in the Word of God. And when she died at age 89, she had no earthly riches, no property or money or even jewels to leave. But she did leave me pearls of wisdom, which she gleaned from a lifetime of daily prayer and Bible study. She left a well-worn Bible with ragged pages and voluminous notes. And this is the most valuable legacy we can receive and we can leave to those who come behind us. I want you to walk with me in God's Word as we discover the power of legacy, L-E-G-A-C-Y, and the six attributes these letters stand for. Now, you may want to order this message for yourself or for someone you want to become a godly legator. It's available on CD for your love gift to the radio ministry of $10 or more. Ask for offer SK129. Our mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Or order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Visit both our e-store and Faith is Action archives. Faith is Action is our monthly magazine, which features messages by my father, Brother Hardy, and myself, like today's. You can join our postal mailing list and receive the printed magazine in your mailbox every month free. So whether you prefer to download online or have it delivered to your home, Faith is Action is serious reading for the serious Christian. Again, for a godly legacy, request offer SK as in Sharon Knotts, 129. Mail to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. Until next time, this is Sister Sharon saying, Maranatha.